Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll get into how the Royals' offseason could go, in particular with a couple of extension candidates and if that's the right path. So we'll get back there in just a few minutes. But let's talk some fantasy football with our guy, Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com and FantasyLife.com. He is presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drink, Scenic Views. Well, Charge, I know they extended that trade deadline, but it's actually caused trades to happen earlier. How about this? A couple wide receivers moved. Starting with Davante Adams, I mean, nobody's surprised he's a New York Jet, but fantasy-wise, is he worth a start right away?
Yeah, well, let's start here. Can we agree that Aaron Rodgers helped engineer the Davante Adams acquisition?
Yeah, of course.
Helped is putting it far too lightly. He obviously just made the trade happen, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then, can we also agree that Aaron Rodgers is petty enough to validate his own trade by peppering Davante Adams with targets even if he's only on the field for half of the snap?
This is true.
Yeah, that seems possible, yes.
It does, doesn't it? And here's the thing. Adams is still pretty good. You know, he was downright heroic in the Raiders' upset win over Baltimore, whatever, week two, week three, back before his hamstring injury.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly,
tightened up.
Suddenly, he fully cured from.
Yeah, it feels great.
Yes. No, it feels great. Fantasy football is supposed to be fun. Starting Davante Adams on Sunday, it's going to be a freaking blast. Sunday night game, nationally televised, reunion game with Aaron Rodgers. Who doesn't want to have Davante Adams in your lineup? I mean, I don't know for sure how it's going to turn out, but what I do know is that's going to be really, really fun, and I want to have a guy going there. He's my wide receiver 35, so Adams doesn't replace your clear starters, but I think he's worth a shot in your flex position, and then you'll have a blast on Sunday night watching the game.
See, I was torn, Charge. I do have him in a PPR league, 16 team, too, by the way. So you'd think he'd be an automatic start for me, but I have Ladd McConkey, Tank Dell, and Devonta Smith. I didn't know.
Ladd McConkey out. Let's go. Let's get Adams in. I think you're gonna. I think you're gonna want this, and I think Rodgers makes a statement here, don't you?
Wait, I kind of do. I'm gonna put him in. Let's just face the reality. Plus, I didn't draft Davante Adams to sit his ass. I don't know if that's bad fantasy strategy, but like, if where I picked him, his job's not on the bench.
Yeah, well, it is bad fantasy strategy, but I don't care, and I'm with you, and I think you should start him, and it is going to be fun. That's all that matters. We're here to have fun.
Now, what about the other movement at the wide receiver position, which, of course, is Amari Cooper? He has a real quarterback. He also has one that's not a creep anymore. He's in Buffalo with Josh Allen. Can you start Amari Cooper right away?
I don't know about right away, but I love his full season opportunity. If everything breaks just right, Amari Cooper could vault you into a fantasy championship. I mean, the landing spot's so perfect. He's the undisputed alpha receiver in Buffalo. Josh Allen's the best quarterback he's had since he left Dak Prescott. And to illustrate how good Cooper can be with capable quarterbacking, last year in those Joe Flacco starts, Cooper averaged 109 yards per game. I mean, you know, I think the guy can still play. Now, he's been terrible this year. Cooper ranks as wide receiver 71 by Pro Football Focus. He has six drops, leading six drops this year. But I blame Deshaun Watson, who drains the love of the game out of everybody around him. He's like a black hole of fun and interest in football that just gets siphoned off. And I want to believe that Cooper's going to be re-energized playing in Buffalo as the go-to receiver. But this week's matchup with Tennessee, very difficult. And he'll only be on the field for maybe half of the offensive snaps. Tennessee's a lot. We think of Tennessee as a garbage team. They've allowed the fewest points to wide receivers. Fantasy points, they've given up just two touchdowns all year. No receivers top 67 yards against the Titans. So I'm starting Adams. I'm waiting on Cooper. I'm going to give Cooper 1 week for an easier matchup and just see how this, you know, the snap count works out. He'll be at like full snap count next week. So I'm waiting 1 week on Cooper.
Clearly the theme of the week, because then we're stuck with Nick Chubb. For those who drafted him and decided to stash him on their bench or managed to pick him up a couple of weeks ago, he's back. The Browns are the worst team in football. They have fundamentally no offense, but when Nick Chubb was at his peak powers, I mean, he was a top five fantasy running back. So what do you do with Nick Chubb right away? Is this the classic wait and see?
Well, see, normally I would say yes, but Jerome Ford, their starter, is not expected to play. He's got a hamstring. Their other runners, Pierre Strong and Dante Foreman, should not be rostered on any NFL team. And the opponent is Cincinnati. This is a crazy favorable matchup. Five of six opponents to face Cincinnati have scored rushing touchdowns. Five of six opponents' lead runners have topped 107 total yards, and the Bengals rank dead last in run defense success rate. So Chubb getting maybe half the workload, it still feels like 10 touches might be enough against the Cincinnati defense. So, you know, in a pinch, I think he's startable. He's my running back 35. You could do worse right now. And God, does Kevin Stefanski need a feel-good story? Getting Nick Chubb into the end zone would be a feel-good story that team needs.
We're talking to Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Here locally, we know the Chiefs coming off a bye week. They're heading out to Santa Clara Sunday afternoon to take on the 49ers. We've talked a ton here about how the Chiefs have done against top receivers, but of course tight ends have had success. I think obviously Kelce and Kittle are obvious starts for Sunday. What about other positions? You know, the running back in particular for the Niners, Jordan Mason, a little banged up in Kansas City. Everybody feels like Kareem Hunt is the guy right now too.
Yeah, with all the carries he's got. I didn't see him just turning into a workhorse. I didn't see it coming. Did you guys see that as the probable outcome for Kareem Hunt?
Not 27 carries. The problem is we couldn't have guessed that Carson Steele would fumble in his first five touches. The second that happened, Andy just flips the script.
He does. He does. Andy loves his guys. I mean, if you're on the inside with Andy, you get like McCole Hartman treatment, Juju Smith-Schuster treatment. I want to talk about him in a second. If Mason goes, you got to start him, right? And if he doesn't go, then you have to start Garendo because they just pound the rock, and those guys are going to get tons of carries. Your run defense has been fantastic, maybe the best in the league, but those guys are, you know, the San Francisco lead runner has to be started in my mind. Now, the interesting guy that you might consider sitting is Brandon Ayuk against Trent McDuffie. You mean McDuffie to me he is a tier two shutdown corner. He's only behind the likes of Jalen Johnson and Sauce Gardner and maybe Patrick Surtain. I mean, that's it. Then I go right to Trent McDuffie. He's giving up 25 yards per game in his coverage. And when opposing teams have got an obvious number one outside receiver, McDuffie usually shadows that guy, and that's going to be Ayuk. So I'm lukewarm on him. Tell me what you think about Juju Smith-Schuster, because before the bye, in that one small game sample where we had without Rashee Rice, Juju looked good.
Yep.
He had a 66% route share. He had a 24% of the targets. He had 34% of the air yards. He finished week five as wide receiver 12. So what do you think about his usage here? Was that a one-game aberration, or do you think he's going to continue to get a lot of the work that Rashee Rice left behind?
Yeah, I might be. I don't know if Cody agrees with me on this or not. I might be in the minority in Kansas City. I'm kind of fading the performance. You know, I think his prop bet is 44.5. Receiving yards. I'm actually kind of leaning towards the under in that because I don't think that performance last week was something people should expect. And this team seems like a very easy spot for the public to say, well, he had 130 last week, 44. That number is way too low. It would not surprise me if that number is below 44 yards in this game.
I think in fantasy, he'll be okay to start for a few weeks, Charge, but it all comes down to the trade. Sometimes it feels like in fantasy, you know this, you're trying to squeeze 3 weeks worth of life out of somebody before somebody else comes out. So, he might be worth it from that perspective. But, yeah, I don't think he's a wide receiver one or two yet, at least on that end. But he's obviously a viable start.
I've got him wide receiver 30 this week.
Yeah.
He's got a tough matchup against a good slot corner, D'Amador Lenore. He hasn't given up a touchdown this year. He gives up 29 yards per game in his coverage. So, you know, I feel like he's just on the cusp of startability for Juju. Do you feel like a trade is inevitable?
Yes.
A wide receiver trade acquisition.
I think Andy pretty much said as much. If you listen to his press conference the other day, he said, you asked about a trade. I didn't say we were trading for anyone. It sounded like it sounded like your buddy when you said you saw him maybe hanging out with his ex. And you're like, oh, nothing was happening there. I just ran into him at the bar. And you're like, nothing, something smells wrong.
That doesn't feel right, does it? I don't know who trade targets are. I mean, because
Slayton,
the obvious trade
Johnson
targets just got moved.
Yeah, yeah. Darius Slayton and Deontay Johnson are the two names everybody here at least has keyed in on, other than bringing back familiar faces, which I'm not interested in, and DeMarcus Robinson or MVS. Ugh.
Don't do it. You already got MVS in Xavier Worthy.
100%
you do not need another MVS.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, though, you know? Every time MVS has been on this roster, they've won the whole thing. Charge, I want to ask you one more thing. I know there's no Patrick Surtain tonight, so take that with a grain of salt. The game tonight is Saints-Broncos, for those who are paying attention. If you own a single player that you are starting in fantasy in either of these teams, should you just quit?
give up the game.
it's not for you.
It's just like at this point, why am I doing this to myself? This is the perfect night where you tell your spouse, you know, hun, and this could be a man or a woman, hun, it's John Elway and the Denver Broncos against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, but I love you so much. Let's just go take a walk tonight. Let's go out. Let me take you out. Let's go out to a movie. Let's go out for dinner. You know, we'll just shut the TV off and we'll spend some time together tonight. That might be better than Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix.
Some of us are sicker than others, though, Charge. I'll be watching tonight.
He's got the over.
I got the under on the game, and I also have the Broncos -2.5.
Well, I can't blame you for taking the under, although get to learn Mason Tipton. Your starting receivers for the Saints.
Bub Means, baby.
Bub Means, Cedric Wilson, and Mason Tipton. And I'm like, who is Mason Tipton? So I started looking at Mason Tipton. He played at Yale. So I pull up his highlights on YouTube. I'm trying to figure out who this guy is. He's just crushing like Princeton and Brown, right? And Harvard. And it reminded me of arguably the greatest prank ever played, sports-related prank in the history of American sports. Are you familiar with the Harvard-Yale prank?
No.
I don't think so.
All right, let me tell you about it. The year is 2004. It's a home game, Harvard versus Yale. Obviously, these are like 200-year rivals, right? Harvard and Yale. The rivalry is deep here. And the game's at Harvard. The Harvard pep team is distributing those cardboard signs that where everybody holds them up at once and it spells out something. Right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Harvard pep team goes through the stands. They've got it all charted out. They give everybody the placards that they're going to hold up at halftime. And at halftime, the Harvard pep team indicates for everybody, and it's like 20 kids, everybody to lift up their placards. There is no Harvard pep team. It was a bunch of Yale students. And when they all lifted up their placards, it spelled out, "We suck."
So maybe I'll start tipping tonight just
great.
For fun, you know?
That's terrific.
That is brilliant, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's a very Harvard-Yale kind of prank right there.
Very smart. Deep. They had to pull that one off. Very good.
Charged. Appreciate it, man. Best of luck this week, and we'll check you in a week from now.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchian, thanks to Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
Yeah, look, I know it's an ugly Thursday night game. I get it. But, you know, if you're playing fantasy football, you still might have Alvin Kamara.
No, I don't have any. Well, yeah, maybe Kamara.
Nothing wrong with having him play tonight.
I don't have him in the league.
All right.
But that's the only viable fantasy.
Cedric Wilson Jr., Boise State alum, touchdown tonight. Calling it.
I'm not starting Boise State players.
I'm not saying to start him. I'm saying from a bet. Cedric Wilson Jr. Anytime touchdown.
As a massive Boise State fan, which we know you are, you were offended that Travis Hunter buried your guy, Genty. Buried his ass.
For those that don't know, there are some
buried
comments. Travis Hunter at Colorado, who's of course incredible.
Colorado, you know.
Yes, Cody's wearing his Colorado hoodie today. It's Hoodie Thursday.
I'm a Travis Hunter guy now.
The comment was Travis Hunter, who is a great player. He obviously plays offense and defense. He's going to be a top five pick. He's incredible talent. He's right there in the Heisman race. He was propping up himself, but he took down Ashton Genty, the running back at Boise State, at the same time. Ashton Genty, the running back, is having a historically great year. We haven't seen anything like that since Barry Sanders in his Oklahoma State days. That's how special this kid is. And he's been sitting in the second half of a lot of games, too. And he's putting up these insane numbers. You can prop yourself up. Travis Hunter's an incredible football player. You didn't have to go and like take down the other guy. This is like, that's where I have a problem. They're both going to get invited to New York and it's going to be a close race right now. There's a lot of football left, but yeah, I didn't like that comment. It was very fitting of Colorado's brand though, Cody. I wonder where Travis Hunter might get that from. I can't imagine.
Might be the braggadocious nature of the current program of the Colorado Buffaloes.
But yes, I did not like that comment. Boise State might even be in the college football playoff this year. We'll see.
Well, the craziest thing, too, is I was talking to Cody about this before the show. The way that the Big 12 is positioned right now, Boise State's 15th. If they win out, that's going to include a win against UNLV. They could be a bye team because it's not a power four. It's not designated to the power fours. It's the highest four ranked conference champions. Boise State could be number four in that list. If the Big 12 ends
but
up
when
being,
the dust settles, though, do you really believe that'll be like, you know, I know what right now we're just like by the time whoever the Big 12 champ is, don't you think they'll just be ranked higher?
If a 12-1 Boise State team beats UNLV and they almost beat Oregon and Oregon wins the Big 10, you might see Boise State at 10.
Boise State plays UNLV next Friday when we're in Vegas. Our party's on at the same time. Otherwise, trust me, I would love to go to the Boise State UNLV game.
Have to put it on the TV.
It would be a lot of fun. There's gonna be a ton of Boise State people while we're doing our party there too.
Do they travel very
well? I'm saying, yeah,
they're open.
It's not a far flight at all. I even did the drive. That's where I got my last speeding ticket. It was 2017 driving up from Boise to Vegas. They're opening up more seats for that game. To answer your question about traveling, because it's in the Raiders Stadium, normally they block off seats. They're not going to have 75,000. But for this, they're opening up a few more because there's a lot of Boise State fans. And UNLV is good. You know,
can't blame them.
So anyway.
Should be a good time. We're going to have fun in Vegas. That's a good reminder. Just if you want the link to our party at Huddle Up on Friday night, Gold and I will be there from 7 until 9 local time, obviously there in Vegas. Just hit us up on the text line, 913-586-7965. We'll send you the link. RSVP and get you a free cocktail. Get you entered to win game day tickets for that Sunday. Get you entered to win a day bed out there at Stadium Swim. All of them.
Are the rumors true that you're trying to upgrade your hotel room to like a honeymoon suite or something? Your wife's going to be there. Is the rumor true? I've been hearing that, look, we're in a very nice room. Each of us have our own room, obviously. But like I've heard maybe you're trying to get your room upgraded because your wife's going to be there.
The
is
last
true?
Room I had the like two king size beds. Why not just one? You know, like
no, mine only had one.
Mine had two.
What were they thinking?
I had two beds. I don't know. I had two beds.
Okay.
You're only in one?
Yeah.
Well, I only want one bed in my room. Well, I need two beds.
I mean, I don't need two. I mean, I guess.
Doesn't hurt you to have two.
No, you know?
Do you have a hard time sleeping in bed with somebody else when it happens because you're so used to sleeping in bed
by
yourself?
Absolutely.
Like, I've been sleeping in the bed with somebody else for so long now, I don't even remember what it's like to sleep alone.
I sleep terribly. Yeah, like even when I was in a relationship, I would sleep terribly whenever we would stay over at each other's place or whatever. Terribly. I couldn't sleep very well.
You really?
Can't stay at each other's
I know,
places.
That's right. You're true. Yeah. I would never do that. You're right.
You shouldn't do that.
No, we just slept, Cody. Just slept. Try to sleep. That's it. Nothing else
speaking
happened.
Is this like a Mormon thing?
No.
Did you soak?
I'm just
oh my gosh.
I'm not Mormon. But yeah. No, obviously joking. But yeah, man, no, I can't. It is not used to sleeping with somebody else in the bed all the time. So.
Like you're overcognizant of somebody else is in the
I don't
same
think it's
bed.
Cognizant.
It's just like you can't sleep the way you normally sleep. You can't spread out.
You spread out as much. Mm. You hear their breathing a little bit. Like, you know, just things you're not used to that would just, over time, I'm sure you get used to it. But if you're asking, that's the truth, man.
I'm just so used to it.
So send them home at 3 a.m. Gold. Well, not if you're in a relationship with the person.
That'd be rude as hell. I'm not going to last very long.
No.
Relationship's not going to last very long if you just sit at home at 3 a.m. all the time. Good luck.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy your night.
In Vegas, though, who knows? You never know what happens.
Mm. I'm sure you guys are not going to share many stories because obviously what happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas.
Oh, we have two shows to do. So if anything happens, I know you guys are sick of me bringing this up, but you have to pay off this freaking bet, dude. Pay off the bet.
It's come up so many times in the last 3 months.
It's not me. I'm not bringing it up.
Because you don't want to bring it up because you owe a bet. Pay off the bet in Vegas.
I don't think I helped your case, Cody, by immediately paying off the bleaching of my hair as soon as I could.
That hurt my cause. Mm-hmm. Needed you to wait a couple of weeks or something.
There are plenty of places to pay off your bet in Las Vegas. Unlike there's like four or five here. There's probably 20 in Vegas.
Maybe more. I don't know.
I haven't counted.
That's probably for the best. I'd be concerned if you had the exact number.
Yeah.
Inside the hotel.
Plenty of people can get you limo. You and the wife can take the limo to the place. It'd be great. They'll pick you up.
Picking me up
take
on a limo?
Take your wife with you.
Mm. Can't wait.
Just the reaction to see you would be so hilarious. How uncomfortable you would be.
The only downside of that is the people of Kansas City who have wanted to come along, but they may never get the chance if I never go. So, plus, there'll be listeners there, as we know. Plenty of people in Las Vegas.
Someone says, if you don't pay off the bet in Vegas, I get to, live on stream, get to kick you straight in the balls.
And then the bet's done?
That paid off.
That could result in a trip to the hospital.
I'm sure the boss would love that.
Yeah.
up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then I want to talk a little bit more about what J.J. Piccolo had to say to us earlier in the week about potential extension candidates and what the flexibility could be payroll-wise. That's coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, of course, is presented by our friends over at Baker University. Appreciate their support of What's Trending, and they are where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, it's that Mike Dana did not practice again today for the Chiefs. He's dealing with a pec strain. Game on Sunday. I think we all know that means he's probably not playing. And so it'd be another week, even post bye, without Mike Dana. Hurts the pass rush, means more from Turk Warden. Another 25%+ increase in snaps from Felix and Udike Uzama as well. But that's the lone injury right now that is being reported from Chiefs practice.
Spag specifically mentioned that this is a big opportunity for Felix and Udike Uzama. It might be a conversation worth visiting tomorrow. Where are we on Felix and Udike Uzama and the increased playing time he's gotten this year and likely to get as Dana is out? Next up on What's Trending, NLCS Game 3 last night easily went in favor of the Dodgers. That game was won 8-2-0, so not even particularly close, if we're being honest. Shohei Ohtani hit a homer. Kiki Hernandez, which always shows up in the postseason, hit a homer. It was a lopsided victory. Both the NLCS Game 5 and ALCS Game 4 are tonight. Yankees and Guardians, currently Yankees are up 2-0. That game's starting at 7 o'clock. Dodgers-Mets will start here any moment, here in just the next couple of hours, actually, in Game 5 as they lead the series 2-1.
Sticking with baseball, we know there's some bankruptcy hearings going on and filings in regards to those regional sports networks owned by Diamond, which includes Bally Sports and Bally Sports KC. The latest with this is, if all continues to trend in the direction it is, that the Bally Sports networks will be rebranded under the FanDuel name. So whether it's FanDuel TV or FanDuel Midwest, FanDuel KC. Now, the Royals would still have to secure a deal with them once again, or go to a different option, or MLB maybe takes over. But let's put it this way. If the Royals are going to stick with the same company and they work out a new deal, it will not be on Bally Sports. It will be a different name. And if it's with the same company, it would be, yeah, well, FanDuel KC or FanDuel Midwest. They would have sports betting integration into the broadcast more than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to at least see how they play it, but more importantly, where the hell the Royals going to be on TV next year matters to me.
Yeah, they're in limbo with a lot of people. They're in limbo with five teams, including the Cardinals and Royals, which are in joint ventures not affected by the bankruptcy proceedings, and that's why it's a little more complicated.
But they could still drop them, according to some of the reports.
We'll know in November.
Yeah, several teams already went in-house with Major League Baseball, so we're all just kind of in a holding pattern. Next up on What's Trending, Liberty. The New York Liberty made a 15-point comeback yesterday to go up 2-1 in the WNBA Finals. It was one of NBA's biggest stars, Sabrina, who had a massive shot towards the end of the game. Everyone was talking about it. I saw LeBron. Everybody was talking about that shot at the end, mostly because she looked cold, damn blooded at the end of the thing. They were way down to the Minnesota Lynx last night, but still managed to make the comeback. Game 4 of that series will be tomorrow. If Minnesota wins, it's only 5-game series. They go on to win the WNBA Finals. Not 7 games like in the NBA.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Before we get into payroll flexibility for the Royals and some of the comments from JJ in regards to where John Sherman is at, and obviously they had a lot of flexibility this past offseason, is that going to be the same deal? The other thing you and I asked JJ about earlier in the week was, all right, you got a lot of controllable assets, a lot of young players, still a really young team, and with that, you don't have to actually go and give a ton of extensions, but does that also maybe give you some tools to package any players? What options do you have? This is what J.J. Piccolo told us earlier in the week on having those controllable players.
Absolutely. There's no question that's part of the equation. And, you know, and I don't really like talking about it, but, you know, players have options too. You know, if we commit to a player and they're not performing well, you do have an opportunity to option a player to try to help them. But again, you got to have a better player on the other end so we can win some ball games during that time. But players with control are always an advantage, you know. So the more your roster is comprised of, say, 15, 16 guys that you've got two to four years of control, as long as they are quality major league players, you're in a good spot. You may have to go through some growing pains to get there, but once they cross over that threshold and become an everyday player, you're going to be in a much better spot moving forward.
And they have multiple everyday players that they have multiple years of control before they even get to arbitration. And that's why there's nobody this offseason where you're like, oh my gosh, they have to go get an extension done with. Yeah, Michael Wacha is a separate conversation. We're talking about young controllable assets. The only player you could talk me into, because I think there's a chance based off of the starting pitching market long term that his value is going to only continue to go up, would be Cole Reagans. But they also have control for another like 5 years or 4 years. So even him would be a guy you don't have to have an extension with, but Reagans would be the only guy that I think you would feel any bit of need to go and take care of based off of his performance and starting pitching. But like Vinny, he's not even ARB eligible yet for another year, isn't
he? He's
that
not
right?
A free agent until 2020. He's not ARB eligible until 2026, 2 years technically. Okay. But if it makes sense, like 2025 season will be around here, so a season's worth, but really a year and a half. From around this moment, not a free agent until 2029, as you know, with Urseg, not a free agent until after that. Cole Reagans isn't a free agent until after that. Massey, same boat as Vinny. Like, the only guy who would have gotten there a year sooner was Bobby Wood Jr. They gave him 10 years. This gives them tremendous flexibility in the free agency market. No, I do not think they're going to spend $110 million like they did last season. But because they don't have to pay anybody. Now, they can. I'm not saying they don't have to make those decisions or look internally about, hey, if we buy out some of the years of Cole Reagans and give him a raise now, he might be willing to add a year that would cost less than market value, or 2 years that would cost less than market value based on what that will look like in a couple of seasons. Sure, you can entertain those, but you don't have to do any of it. The Royals' entire roster isn't going anywhere. They're all cheap and free, and some they'll keep cheap and free. Kyle Isbell will probably just be on this roster, cheap and free. He may never get an extension with Kansas City. He'll be 31, and I hope we'll get a deal then or whatever. Freddie Fermin may never not be, just cheap and free for this organization. But because you have that flexibility, you are not obligated to do anything. I am typically signing an extension to players. They don't have to do any of that. Make your free agency decisions first would be the advice I'd have.
The player that actually is getting close to that is Brady Singer.
Yes.
And that's why his name has come up in the past as potentially a trade candidate. I think that doesn't get clarification until they know if Michael Walker's back.
We're going to know that in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, we'll know it. We'll know if he's not exercising his option.
Sure.
Or you know
but
what I mean?
Kind of feel like if he exercises his option, he's not. This goes back to like the Chris. If he exercises his option, I don't think he's a Royal. I think if he's a Royal, they figure out a way to keep him before that deadline comes along. Maybe I'm misinterpreting the situation. That's just how I do it.
That's probably true. I would just say if he's back, then you look at the rotation, then maybe Brady Singer is a more tradable piece. If Waka's not back, then to me, you can't trade Brady Singer.
The funny part about Singer is even he has less control than the other players we're talking about, but is not an unrestricted free agent until after the 2026 MLB season. They could sit on his ass for 2 years too.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing. Like they're like this goes back to the draft and the development part of it. 80% of their lineup is under control and not going anywhere for years. And like 70% of their bullpen and 50% of their starting rotation. They got at least 2 years on, in some cases more. Which means, you know, like we talked about the 5-year plan for the Royals and the expectations. Well, that's based on the idea that the Royals have all the roster flexibility in the world, which, you know, here's the other side of this that we didn't talk about earlier. Having players with that amount of control, as you try to reshape a roster, be transactional, all those things, it makes all the players on your roster far more attractive. Because if there's one thing major league teams love trading for, and this includes the Royals, why they gave up what they gave up for Lucas Urseg,
right?
Controllable years. How many controllable years do I have on a player matters? And if you can trade Brady Singer this offseason, I'm not saying they should or will, but if they trade Brady Singer this offseason, they're going to trade him to a team that knows even if they didn't have a deal in place with Brady Singer, they'd at least have 2 full years of cheap control on him before they had to pay him. That's valuable. That's incredibly valuable.
Yeah, and I think looking at the financial situation, I think a lot of fans would just look at this offseason and look at last offseason, and they saw last offseason they spent $111 million. In this offseason, neither one of us believe that they're spending $111 million again. And so some would just say, well, okay, well, they're just not, well, they're back to not spending. It's not, there's a lot more that goes into that. Yeah, I think they will spend some money, but there's not as many pieces to fill. There's holes to fill, right? That's not this big roster turnover like there were.
No, they were a playoff team with a roster. They have 85% returning.
I think, they're going to spend, like, I think it's fair to say, they're going to spend less money this offseason. Doesn't mean they can't make trades and still be aggressive and transactional. But if you're just hoping they're going to go replicate $111 million in another year, I don't believe that's what they're going to do. I also think there's a chance that last year John Sherman spent more than even the initial plan was, and give him credit for that. J.J. Bacula said, hey, maybe we can acquire a Michael Wacha. It's going to go a little bit over what you kind of told me I could spend, but this is going to really be beneficial for us. And it helped that it worked, by the way. Like, if you're hoping the confidence that you have if you're John Sherman is that, okay, it's one thing for me to write a check, but I know that J.J. Piccolo and this staff is able to go out and actually hire, sign the right guys.
I mean, that's the easiest comp is that had I sold all the items of the box from the Amazon return pouch, you'd probably be willing to give me some
and
more cash.
And now I don't trust you to ever do that again.
No, you will never
because
trust
we have a bunch of items in a box from last December, right before the holidays.
Had I sold it right away, you'd been like, you know what, sure, we can take a chance on that pallet, Cody. I'm never talking you into that ever again. I'll have to have some other business idea. But no, I think that this is also why I think it's really important. The state of the Royals roster is why it's important for them to accept what they should have accepted years ago under Dayton Moore and have done a better job under J.J. Piccolo, but have not fully sold their soul for. They have so many controllable players that focus between bullpen, starting pitching, and their starting lineup. It's time to move pieces around. It's time to trade controllable players for different controllable players or less controllable players for this to make a roster better. It is time to move the pieces around because you were a good team. There's no doubt you were a playoff team. You were one of the better teams in baseball. But shuffling those things around and saying, well, we're going to weaken our bullpen a little bit because we like the arms we have in the minor leagues because it's going to give us this guy in the arm, or we're going to weaken our starting rotation because we think we can spend the free agency money. It's time to move the chairs around. And I know that you're like, but why? It was working. Because that's what successful teams do. They do not just look at the roster they have full of controllable pieces and be like, we'll be fine. They figure out a way to manipulate it where you make areas of your minor league system that you think are stronger. Those are going to backfill the areas you make weaker to make other parts of the major league roster stronger. It's all cohesive. It's a machine. You can do that this offseason because of the way your roster is structured.
And so far, this regime of Piccolo and obviously Matt Quatrero as the manager makes me believe that that's something they're willing to do. That fits, you know, Tampa. And I know John Sherman has talked about, you know, Cleveland and Tampa, and they're trying to do it their own way. But also there's plenty of elements of them replicating similar processes of the Rays and the Guardians. And that's a good thing, by the way. That's okay. Now you can have your own spin on it and your own view on what direction and hopefully improve upon those policies and structures that they had. But everything I've seen so far tells us that they're operating like those teams, which is a good thing for this market size, for what you just said about flipping talent around and being transactional. Have a lot of faith that that's what they're going to continue to do, and that's what they do need to do going forward. Someone offered on the text line to buy the box.
I said $200. It's all yours. That's what we paid for it.
Oh, just to get our money back.
Yeah,
for the show
fund. Let's just get out of it. You know, let's put some money back in the show fund.
$200 for the show fund, and let's just take the money to Vegas next week. Let's just call it even.
Ooh,
let's be done with
it.
You know,
Renner Black
or something. You know,
take a shot. See if we can't turn that show money into more money.
That's right. What could go wrong?
I mean, you know, people have walked out of Vegas up sometimes.
What could go wrong?
They don't always walk up, but sometimes they've walked away up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be us this time. And then we can finally buy some new show shirts. Alex and I really want to buy some new show shirts.
New Cody and Gold shirts.
We want some new Cody and Gold shirts.
We have station shirts. We've been handing some of those out at certain events around the city when we've been out and about. But those are not under our control.
No, we don't get to distribute.
We get some Cody and Gold shirts.
We like to distribute as we see fit.
Some Cody and Gold shirts. We haven't had shirts since the first 6 months of the show. We paid for those. Those are vintage now.
Mm-hmm.
Can it be vintage after almost 5 years? Can it be vintage? It'd have to be like 10.
Hard to say. I like the idea of somebody finding it off a thrift store rack 15 years from now and being like, I don't even know what this show is. And there's I just kind of like the logo. So.
I would like to think that the show is in some form or fashion around, or at least you and I are at least doing radio still, even if it's not the same show 10 years from now. I would like to think.
I feel like
I don't know about you. I have a lot of years left. I need to be working. I'm going to be working for at least another 20 years.
Yeah, but it
years.
Might be, you know.
30 Cody years. And, it might Let's
be,
try 30.
It might be, you know, Gold and Drew. We don't know. Who knows what happens
Gold
in 15 years.
Gold and Drew. Tap just, and Drew.
Your name can't come first. It sounds weird.
Golden Tap would have worked. I still maintain. It would have worked. It's fun, but it would have worked. Golden Tap would have worked.
Yeah.
Still sounds like a golden tap. It sounds like a golden version of
But I think that's
me.
Why, but no, like, go, like or beer.
Golden Drew sounds worse.
Yeah, that does
yeah,
not
that
fit.
Does that not. Flows terribly.
Yeah.
Anyway. Golden Nixon? That sounds like you're running for office.
No. It does.
Alex and Drew? I mean, you just got to go by the first name.
No.
You know?
I don't think you can go first name on
you
show
You guys are going to have to be something stupid like The Rundown with Golden Nixon.
Or The Zone or something like that. Yeah. That would be silly.
I feel like vintage has to be like anywhere from like 7 to 10.
I think we're talking think clothing. It's different. Early. You know? Like clothing, you know, I mean, how long? Like a shirt can only last so long.
Something's vintage, I feel like if it goes out of style, like if you're like, I don't know, if you wear, pick something that's in style right now, if it becomes out of style and then people start to wear it again, okay, that's vintage clothing.
Yeah.
All right.
Like before champions started making a comeback. If you're,
but t-shirts don't, but a t-shirt's never gonna, well, I mean,
I think it's
if it's
a
like
fabric.
A Looney Tunes Tasmanian Devil basketball shirt, I guess it comes out of style, but it's just, it's just a t-shirt. It's a regular t-shirt with a logo. I'm not so sure that can go out of style.
Someone says, is Cody leaving? I'm tuning in. No, we're talking about we want to get new t-shirts for the show. We haven't had one since we started. And then Cody said something like, maybe in 15 years, it'll be on a rack somewhere and nobody will know what the hell it's from. And I go, well, I don't know about you. I plan on still having to work 15 years from now.
He's hoping people still know what the show is in 15 years.
Or at least know the names, even if it's not the exact same show. Something.
If you wanted to call it, like make a shirt like vintage, I feel like tie-dye is kind of, it gives like a vintage. Vintage feel.
Yeah, it's not vintagey. Like,
no,
it's just a regular shirt. I just want to do a regular shirt.
Do you not have a Cody and Gold shirt?
I'm pretty sure we gave him one.
I do have a Cody and Gold shirt.
I've never seen him wear it though. He's embarrassed.
I've worn it under hoodies.
You use it to wash your car. Is that what it is now?
That's what you do with shirts you don't like. Man. That's the worst shirts in my collection get worn under hoodies.
The shirt that I'm wearing right now is the Vibes Are Great shirt that I've worn multiple times without wearing the hoodie, and I'm wearing that one right now.
This is like that barbecue Kansas City shirt is on underneath. You know, it's the one that I'm not going to wear on its own.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. Yeah. That's how he's treating it. He should give his Cody and Gold shirt up to somebody who will wear it.
A shirt like a right off of Drew's back.
That's going to end up in the Cody and Gold garage sale. Drew's shirt he won't wear.
I've worn it before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying.
Do you wear it under that orange Cincinnati hoodie?
Whenever I wear Bengals stuff, I tend to just go all. I'm wearing a Bengals.
You wearing
shirt.
Orange underwear too? Orange socks?
I'll wear the Bengals
tiger
shirt under the Bengals.
Tiger striped.
Yeah, gotta look like that. And for those asking, yeah, we will have some 610 Sports Radio stuff for the Cody and Gold garage sale.
Oh, I got old pullovers, polos.
Then I got all kinds of old 610 stuff.
Those will definitely. I mean, this is taking up space in the closet. I can't ever wear them anymore. Like, literally, I can't wear them to work. I can't wear them to cover an event.
Anything.
I might have 10 polos that say Comcast cable.
At one point, I'm like,
610 Sports Radio.
Anything for you to not see that logo again.
Yeah. At one point, I'm like, oh, do I keep one of them for. But I'm also like, why? Like, I still have an ESPN Boise polo. What a waste of space. I'm never going to wear that. What's the point of keeping
it?
What am I going to. No, I'm not going to wear a station I don't work at anymore.
Cody is probably trying to vehemently get rid of that as soon as he can because he's tired of the logo. He doesn't like seeing anything to do with that logo.
That 610 Sports Radio logo was one of the worst logos in the history of mankind. Thank God we're 96.5 The Fan.
We're back at it tomorrow on a Red Friday in Kansas City. Up next, C-Dot and Rob on the drive.